Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with Mike Morial. Mike, we got a great guest today, Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting. How are things going on your end?
Everything is going great, Adam. Glad to join you again. This is when it starts to ramp up, right? We're really excited about this time of year. The Central Scouting's final rankings are out for North American and international skaters. I have my cup of coffee this morning. You have your cup. And our producer, Bob Bender, even has his cup of coffee. So all three of us.
Coming to the dark side with his coffee.
What a morning. What a morning, Adam. Looking forward to it.
So we're going to have Dan Marr on from NHL Central Scouting in a bit here. We're going to talk about the final rankings. But, Mike, you had the very unique perspective of being in the room for the discussions of the final rankings. We all saw the final results, but you were there while the meal was being made. Take us inside. What were some of the highlights? What were some of your favorite moments from listening to the scouts sort of go through and have their experience?
Yeah, it's always interesting, right? I mean, you were there, for a few years as well when we started, when NHL Central Scouting invited .com to go in and sit in and listen to the debate and the talks of all the players that are going to be drafted. And, you know, at the top, you know, Celebrini was a player that there really wasn't much of a debate. And we'll get into that with Dan Marr, I would imagine, as well. But obviously Celebrini has proven himself in more ways than one on the ice, off the ice, and what he was able to accomplish at Boston University. Two things I did take away that I thought were, you know, really interesting was the fact that the debate among the defensemen was something really intriguing with, you know, some of the, you know, you got like top three there with the final rankings and, you know, Artem Lechnov and Ziv Buyum and Zane Parekh, three high caliber D-men. Where are they going to go in this draft? And, you know, Dan presented it in a way where he forced the full-time scouts to maybe pick a defenseman, an NHL defenseman in today's game, their best comparable with that particular player. And I found that to be really interesting, as I did with the discussion with Cole Eisenman, Adam, of the National Team Development Program. I felt that they really spent a lot of time dissecting Cole, what he brings to the table, which is, you know, obviously with the shot. And almost every scout, said, you know, in the second half of the year, Cole's game has really picked up. The pace in which he plays, playing that two-way style. So he's number 12 here in the final ranks, but it's going to be interesting to see where a player of his caliber goes in this draft because of what he brings with that shot and an improving two-way type game.
Well, let's bring in the guy who keeps the list, the guy who oversees the list, the guy who oversees NHL Central Scouting, Dan Marr. Thank you for joining us today in NHL Draft Class. Let's start right up with Macklin Celebrini, number one on the North American skaters list, to no one's surprise. I'm just curious how long the discussion was to get him in that top spot. Was there anyone even close in the opinion to the scouts during the final meetings, or was it a quick hand vote and then let's move on?
The time it took to slot him at number one took less time than you asking that question. But having said that, there's been ongoing dialogue regarding him all year, and all he's done is consistently raise that bar for himself, taking his team on his shoulders, and had a nice long run during the season, all the while showing his skills. You know, he's very, very similar to what Fantilli did last year, someone to come in and carry that load, deliver like he did as a freshman in the NCAA, and, you know, win all the hardware. That's truly impressive. And like, we don't have to spend a lot of time, and we didn't actually spend a lot of travel time going to see him play live. He was delivering to expectations and projections. And, you know, that's what you love about a player like that. He's just got all those elite qualities about him, and he delivers.
Dan, one of the things that I found so intriguing sitting in at the meetings was the discussion among the three highly skilled defensemen expected to go earlier in this draft. Number two, Artem Lechnov of Michigan State, number four, Ziv Buyum of the national champion Denver Pioneers, and number five, Zane Parekh of Saginaw. I know the order of these players was debated extensively at the final meetings. In your eyes, though, what differentiates, you know, one from the other, if there even is a difference?
One of the things, and you were there for part of it, is just to try to stimulate further discussion. Sometimes I'll ask the question, like, which of these three would you want to build a team around? Or who are the comparables that you would see with some of these three? And when I ask for the comparables, I'm just curious to see which names are like the Norris Trophy candidates that are in the National Hockey League. But at the end of the day, some of it just, I think it comes down to the comfort level. And so Levshunov, he's one of those guys, he can play all situations with and without the puck and get the job done. Very solid player. He's shown it. He came to Green Bay in the USHL. He adapted in his first year there, where he became a go-to solid player. He's come into Michigan State, a program that's rebuilding itself. He was a big part of their success this year, just the consistency that he brings. So there's a bit of a like a comfort level knowing that you're going to get someone that can play all situations, go out and get the job done. And with Boehm, he brings more of a dynamic game, but equally impressive as a freshman when he went out and put up the offensive numbers that he did. Yes, you can say he came in on a national champion, but they repeated and they repeated him as one of their go-to players, which again, for a freshman is truly impressive. He plays like his game is dynamic, but it's very well managed. And with Zane Parekh, he's got a very proactive game. And he kind of gets a reputation that he's defensively challenged because his game has such a – it's more of a high-reward offensive chances style that he plays. The risk he manages is pretty good. The defensive side, he's become far more responsible. So I just think at the end of the day, when you're kind of looking at a comfort level, you can build around all three of these players and they can all impact in their own way. And you were there. The debate can go in circles and circles and circles, and you can switch the order every day. But at the end of the day, whatever team feels they can add to the depth of their lineup and bring something that will help improve their franchise, that's the order that they're going to go.
Shifting gears up front, Dan, how important was it for you and the group at Central to see Caden Lindstrom get into some games here at the end of the season with Medicine Hat, played a handful of regular season games, got into some games in the Western League playoffs? How important was it to see him live so the group can get some new information on him? He hadn't played since, I think, December, you know, to see how he's progressed and really feel good about putting him in that number three spot on the North American list.
Those are the natural questions that would come about. We kind of have a different viewpoint on it just based on our experience with this player and just the way the draft process works and how it all plays out. So, yes, it was good that he was able to be cleared medically to come back to play. But as discussed in the past, you can't miss that much time and come back and be like 100% as the player you were. You can be 100% medically fit and cleared to play. So we didn't expect him to come back and just take off or pick up where he left off. And he didn't. And he actually might have been he did a little too much on his own. And it wasn't a good fit. So like we kind of discount that at the end here, and you know, they've wisely decided that he's better off just to not participate with Canada at the U18, just spend the summer preparing to be ready for the start of next season. We just looked at it like he did nothing to diminish his status from where we had him ranked. He's still one of the best, like, power forwards coming in to a draft class that we've seen in a number of years. You know, he had 27 goals in 32 regular season games before he went out. You know, he was averaging almost a point and a half a game. But just what he brings to the table, that package with his size, athleticism, the way he plays the game, his smarts, he makes things happen. He generates chances every time he's on the ice. Like there was just nothing that we saw where anyone would go by him or where he would be diminished in the rankings. We're going to get a good look at him at the combine, same as the NHL clubs with the testing, with the interviews. They'll get all the questions answered. The unique part with his injuries is that they were not major injuries. They didn't occur in a game. He did them both himself in practice and in training. I think he's kicking himself for getting injured like that. But going forward, these are types of experiences that these young players build on and they become better athletes, better players.
One of the things I enjoy too, Dan, was listening to the, you know, conversations regarding Cole Eiserman of the NTTP, who's number 12 on the final ranking. And when Cole's name was brought up, how the whole staff kind of started discussing, you know, comparing him with other players in this draft class. How does he compare to this player or that player? Where does he fit as far as what he's capable of doing compared to this player or that player? He is regarded, no question about it, I think, as having one of, if not the best shot of this draft class, headed to BU in the fall. What do you think college hockey will be able to do in possibly rounding out Cole's game? And what type of player do you see him becoming at the next level?
Well, whether it's fair or not, like he's kind of been labeled as a one-dimensional player, but it's a very important dimension. Like we view him as one of the best scorers in this draft class. And, you know, in the National Hockey League, scoring is the one of the best parts of the game. So that's what he's going to bring to the table with the team. When I look down the road there, you know, I can see him impacting on an NHL club like a Chris Kreider down the road. They're, you know, just a guy that can score goals on a consistent basis, score some timely goals, help teams win games. And I think that all he needs and what he'll get at college hockey is this. He just needs to be coached up a bit. And that just comes with experience and maturity to where his offensive game will round out a little more. Like when he sets up in the offensive zone, he can pass, make plays. He's a good playmaker, but right now he's been utilized as the finisher. So that was his game, getting open, getting the shot and scoring. So I think his game will round out and he'll get coached up a bit at BU. And by the time he gets his chance to play in the National Hockey League, he'll be a pretty solid offensive player for any team that's fortunate to get him in the draft.
Dan, Michael Hage from Chicago in the United States League was one of the high risers from the midterm rankings to the final rankings. He was 19 in the midterm. He's number 10 now in the final list. He finished fourth in the USHL with 75 points in 54 games. I'm curious, what did you and your group see from Hage as the season went along that pushed him up so high in the final rankings?
Michael Hage has always been a well-thought-of prospect. And one of the things that we liked about him was the fact that he kind of took his team on his back and helped them move into playoff contention because the team struggled out of the gate. They were hard pressed to come up with the wins. And he has what I call the three C's to which no analytics give you. And that's character, compete, and consistency. And he brings all those to the game, every game, shift in, shift out. And you combine it with his smarts and his skills. He's able to go out there and be a difference maker. He's the one that pushes the envelope. He's been suspended a couple of times for pushing the envelope a little too far. But he's the one that helps drive that team in a forward position. When they need a goal, he's out there generating chances. When they're defending the lead, he's out there defending that lead and defending his teammates. So the USHL this year, it's a good sign for the league as a development league that a number of first-time draft-eligible players are all in the top end of scoring. And Michael's one of those. I just think when the teams get to spend some time with him, interview him, See how hard he competes. The strength coaches will love the way he competes at the testing there. This is the type of player that you want to bring into your organization. And we think there will be a team that will step up for him. And this is why we kind of stepped up for him and moved him up in our rankings.
Yeah, the USHL is really showcasing its stuff this year. I counted 64 active players from the league listed in the final rankings. So that's quite an accomplishment there. And quite a few, I think four or five in the first projected in the first round. So two of those players projected in the first round are from Muskegon, right, Dan? In the USHL, you had number 16, Sasha Bovair, and number 21, Matvei Gridin. How impressed were you and your staff on how each of these players elevated their games as the season went along?
Both of these players popped out to our staff. We have David Gregory and Pat Cullen that are responsible for covering the USHL. And right from the fall showcase, both of these players popped and they were put on our radar. Bovair was quickly moved to an A and Gridin soon followed. Like Bovair has the size and the skating that make you notice him, but it's the way he plays the game and utilizes his assets. He has such a focus and determination and the tools that like he wants to be the best he can be. He doesn't want to be the best player. He just wants to be the best that he can be. But that shows through almost every game. And he's made a significant impact with Muskegon and the same with Gridin. He has those unteachable talents. And what was truly impressive about him, like he knows how to get open, he knows how to get chances, and he can finish. But it was the consistency in which he showed those attributes all throughout the season, whether it doesn't matter how the game was going, what the score was, he was the guy that when he was on the ice, you knew there was going to be an offensive chance. And for the most part, it was for Muskegon, not the opponent.
That's always helpful. Dan, I want to ask you about Colin Ralph from Shattuck St. Mary's. He's number 32 on the North American list. You know, you look at the numbers on the back of the hockey card, 6'4", 214 pounds, certainly has NHL-ready size. He's headed to St. Cloud State for college. He was number 46 in the midterms. I'm wondering what your group saw from him in the second half of the season against a prep school schedule that moved him so high up in the rankings.
I'll say it for you, Adam. He's a raw prospect, and he's got that raw potential. And the more we discussed him, like the size and strength stand out, and he's an unbelievably fluid, fast skater, quick transition game with his skating. He's got those physical tools. It's just he has these game smarts. And, you know, like you mentioned, at the prep school, you can have some blowout games. You can have some tight games. But game in and game out, he had this composed way that he managed his game and the way he played the game. And so from our perspective, like this is someone he just needs to get the experience and maturity that'll come with it and the coaching at the next level. So it is a projection on our part, but he was so consistent in the way he played and with and without the puck, game in and game out, that every time you'd go in there and think, do we have him too high? Do we not have him high enough? He would prove to us that he's a player that's worth stepping up for. And again, that's why he made that move on our final rankings.
I found it interesting, too, when I spoke to Tom Ward a couple of weeks ago, the coach at Shattuck, and I asked Tom about Colin. He told me that he reminds him a little bit of Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson, of course, played for Shattuck, and we all know what the NHL season that Jack has had. You know, consistency in what he does, like you said, Dan, not flashy, but just kind of gets it done. So I know he has a ways to go to get to a Jack Johnson type of level, but that's what he said he reminds him a little bit of, which I thought was interesting in that regard. International list. Anton Siliev of Torpedo moved from number 2 to number 1 on the final list. The size is the first thing that really stands out at 6'7", 211 pounds. What is it about him, Dan, that you and director of Euro Scouting, J.P. Vernon, liked about his projection and potential in a few years?
As you alluded to, the guy pops out at 6'7", 214, 15 pounds. But the way he moves for his size is truly impressive. fluid stride, and he has a very effective and efficient transition game with his skating. And, you know, he can take the puck in the D zone and transition to offense just with that good first pass out of the zone. And the smarts and skills part of his, like he's composed to play at the pace of the game, and he can compete with his skills and attributes at that pace. And for a player of his age to do that at the top pro league in the KHL in Russia, that's what was truly impressive. The fact that he was able to compete at that level at this age. What he brings to the team and what he brings to the ice and brings to the team, at the end of the day, it was just decided that he had the highest ceiling for a projection because Demidov is arguably one of the most skilled players in the game. So, you know, teams will have their own debate if they want to take one of the higher skilled forwards, if they want to take a D-man that can play for a long, long time and play a lot of big minutes and impact on your team. They've got some nice choices to look at when they're looking at those top two players on the European side.
Well, Dan, we could go up and down the list and really pick your brain on a lot of guys, but thank you for sharing with us your insight on the final rankings from NHL Central Scouting, and we'll see as we get closer to the combine and the draft. Thanks for joining us on NHL Draft Class.
My pleasure, and I look forward to seeing the two of yours final ranking.
Of course.
All the mock drafts, mostly because we assume you scouts just mock them.
Yeah. Great stuff there by Dan Marr. But Adam, do you really think the scouts look at our mock drafts and take them seriously?
I think it's the mock part that they really lean on, and they just look at them and laugh because, you know, who are we?
Yeah.
They're the ones who actually go to the game. Yeah, I think they just, you know, it's there for giggles for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of good stuff there to unpack. Adam, obviously, Macklin Celebrini at the top. We all know what he's been able to bring for Boston University this year. Fourth freshman to win the Hobey Baker Award and the youngest. Paul Kariya, Jack Eichel, and Adam Fantilli won it as freshmen, but those three were born in October and turned 18 at the start of their first college season. Celebrini won't turn 18 until June 13th, well after the season has concluded. So quite an accomplishment for Celebrini and what he was able to bring to the table with his compete and IQ and everything else. We saw that on display, full display this season at BU.
Well, what stood out to me, what Dan said, is that there wasn't, number one, his great line about it taking them less time than it took me to ask the question about how long it took to put him in number one, but the fact that they didn't even really waste a lot of time traveling out to Boston or to follow him around because they knew who he was, what he was, and every time they did watch him, it just continued to reinforce that belief, just a two-way game, the smarts for the game, the skill, you know, and again, to do it as a 17-year-old, I feel like we're saying a lot of the same things we said about Connor Bedard last year, right? Youngest, yeah. Most skilled, you know, great head for the game, very different players. I don't think Celebrini's going to have the instant dominant offensive impact that Connor Bedard as an NHL rookie this year. But in his way, Celebrini was able to take over games and to do it against NCAA talent, where he's not just the youngest player, but he's probably the youngest player by a large margin compared to the guys he's playing against who were 19 and 20 and 21 years old. And he just dominated them. He was second in scoring, top three, top four in goals, led his team to the Frozen Four. You know, yeah, there really was no debate who number one would be. Number two is where the discussion really comes in.
Yes, indeed. And obviously number two is Artem Levchinov of Michigan State, who had an outstanding season. Big, towering defenseman, a lot of poise along the blue line. But one of the defensemen that, you know, watching him in the Frozen Four, Adam, Ziv Buyum is a guy that I was so impressed with at the University of Denver, the NCAA champion this year. And now they're two-time champion after winning it the previous last year as well. But Buyum, to me, I mean, entering, you know, the tournament and maybe the season, maybe people didn't give him as much credit defensively as they should have. I know I was one that thought of him as a highly coveted offensive type defenseman, great asset, skating, hockey sense, compete are all there. During the scouting meetings, you know, this is a player that was being compared to an Adam Fox and a Cale Makar. So there, you know that he has that capability offensively. But what really impressed me en route to Denver winning it all was how he defended, using his stick, using the gapping, the space along the walls. He's not afraid to, you know, he's not afraid to, obviously he has that quick transitional game and can become that offensive impact player as a freshman, but he shows no panic up top, can ride the blue line to pick options and doesn't mind going into the hard areas to retrieve pucks. So I really liked Bouyum's defensive game during the Frozen Four and in the final and what they were able to do to a BC team, right, Adam? That BC was just loaded this year with
they were
with
a juggernaut.
Picks.
They were a juggernaut with the national line.
Offensively, yeah. Just outstanding. So, and let's face it, David Carl knows how to manage a bench and knows how to. He's such a tactician when it comes to playing against high caliber offenses as a defensive himself in college. But you know, he just had a perfect game plan against BC and it worked wonders. But Bouyum was another one. I know Dan spoke about him and the two other defensemen here that could go high in this draft, but Bouyum was one that I was really impressed with this season.
You know, I feel the same way about Parekh and kind of a lot of the same way. And I think it's the way guys defend now. It's not, you don't have to be Shea Weber. You don't have to be Zdeno Chara to be an effective defenseman in the NHL. Guys defend now using their feet, using their stick, and quick transition. Like, you're defending by playing in the other team's zone. You're defending by getting the puck out of your zone with a quick pass or three quick steps, and you're out and you're in transition. That's how teams defend today. That's how good defensemen defend today. You know, we talk about Adam Fox and Cale Makar. We don't talk about them as physical specimens, killing plays, rubbing guys out on the boards, clearing the net. No, we talk about them, you know, quick steps, quick first pass, skating the puck out of trouble, using their feet, their head, and their sticks to play defense. And I think that's what you see with Zeev Bouyum, with Zane Parekh. You know, Sam Dickinson is a bigger player, but I think he's got a lot of those same qualities. You know, you can go up and down the list and you look at the really good defensemen, and that's sort of how they defend now. And that's what allows them to be such effective players. And you see that at the NHL level, and you're seeing that now at the junior level.
Yeah. And just on the opposite spectrum of that real quick, you know, there is room, I should say, for defensive defensemen too in this league, because we see that in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You need big, powerful, strong guys back there as well. If you're maybe a tweener between being that transitional guy and that defensive defenseman. But you mentioned and you asked Dan Moore about Colin Ralph from Shattuck, and Tom Ward told me that this is a true defensive defenseman, which are now hard to find because everyone seems to want to be geared towards that offensive type of game from the back end. But you also need those stand-up, big, strong caliber D guys that can get it done. And I think that's another thing why, you know, you see that Anton Siliev from Torpedo in the Continental Hockey League, another one of those players who blocks a ton of shots, you know, is very, really, really physical in the type of game that he plays. Scored 11 points in the KHL, which was the most for an under-18 player in KHL history. But still, he's a defensive-type defenseman, as is Colin Ralph. Eventually, he's got a lot of work to do to finally get to where he wants to go. But you can see that as well. And one other point I'd like to make, Adam, was, you know, we spoke a little bit about the USHL, talked about the USHL with Dan there a little bit. And it was interesting to note that there are five USHL players, not including Cole Eiserman, Kamil Bednarek from the NTTP, possible first-round candidates, Trevor Conley of Tri-City at number 6, Michael Hage of Chicago at number 10, Sasha Brovere of Muskegon, 16, Matvei Gridin, Muskegon, number 21, and John Mustard of Waterloo at 27. And Dan mentioned the fact that Gridin and Conley finished 1-2 in USHL scoring, draft-eligible guys. Hage was 4th. And forward Max Swanson of Fargo, who's right now in that watch category for Central Scouting, not ranked, is headed to North Dakota, but was 3rd in scoring. So a lot of these first-year draft-eligible guys are really having an impact in the USHL, and it's great to see.
Well, yeah, it's becoming a development league that maybe gets overlooked a little bit because all of its teams are sort of condensed in the Midwest and people kind of tend to overlook them a little bit. But yeah, it's a fantastic development. Like, look, Adam Fantilli played there. Macklin Celebrini played there.
That's
And
right.
Out okay for both of those guys, and that's just a short list of guys who have graduated from the USHL into the NHL to become, you know, top end players. But I want to go back to something you said about the defensemen and Ralph and Saleyev especially, because while Dan talked about their size and their strength, one thing he mentioned about both guys is how well they skate. So you can't be a Hal Gill type where you're just big. Right. And that's the only thing you have where you're just big and kind of immobile. You got to be able to move. And these guys, they have the size, they have the strength, but they have the skating ability to turn plays into transition, to get the puck up the ice, or at the worst, to make a really smart first pass up the ice. They're not just chip it in, chip it out, you know, just kind of stand there and be physical and stand in front of your goalie and clear the crease. They bring way more to the game. And that's what today's defenseman is. And that's what you need. You need guys who are big, but you need guys who can move. And these guys are big, they're skilled, and they can move. And that's what makes them special players. And that's what makes them first-round candidates. In Saleyev's case, maybe even a top-five candidate.
Yeah, some real great stuff there from Dan Marr today, Adam, talking about the final rankings. It's always great to have him on, get some input on what it was like at those final meetings. It's always very intriguing, very interesting. So if you like this episode, you can look back on previous episodes that we ran this earlier this season. We had Artem Leshnov, the number two ranked North American skater from Michigan State, on earlier this year. We spoke to Dan Marr with regard to the midterm rankings this season as well. TJ Ginla was a guest of ours at the CHL Top Prospects game, which was also a fantastic interview there. The son of Jerome Ginla, the Hockey Hall of Famer. We also spoke to Jason Bukala. A force from Sportsnet, does a great job there scouting as well as NHL work. So Jason was a great guest and had a little bit of his insight into what these international players are all about and North American skaters as well. So more great episodes to come as well, Adam, as we start to gear up for the upcoming draft in Las Vegas.
Yep, we've got the NHL draft lottery coming up. We'll have a little bit of a lottery mock draft that we'll be able to talk about. We're going to talk to some of the great minds from NHL Central Scouting beyond Dan Marr, the guys who cover each of the leagues and the regions. So there's a lot to come and a lot to stay focused on as we get closer and closer to the draft. I can't believe it's going to be here. Before long, we'll be in Buffalo for the Combine and then off to Vegas.
Yep, Combine is June 3rd through the 8th in Buffalo. KeyBank and Harbor Center. That's probably the next big event that we have on our plate, which is something we always enjoy. And we'll have a lot of guests there as well for NHL Draft Class. So looking forward to it.
So stay tuned. Subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.